You have your Bibles this morning, we invite you to turn with us to the book of Matthew chapter 5. We have been looking at the Sermon on the Mount for the last few weeks, and we've begun what has turned into quite a series of messages. That really wasn't our plan. I thought we'd preach the Sermon on the Mount and the Beatitudes all at one time, and God just slowed us down and said, you go through every single one. You need to learn about Christian character and Christian conduct. And boy, do I ever. Amen. Matthew 5, verse 1. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. That is the reading of Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 12, if correctly read. This morning we'll look at the last beatitude, which is, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. I want us to see, first of all, this morning, the recipient of persecution. Now, Jesus began to preach the Sermon on the Mount, and the introduction to this sermon is called the Beatitudes. And the Beatitudes are progressive steps for Christian character and Christian conduct that should be in every one of our lives. And someone once said that the Beatitudes are the attitudes that ought to be. Each one of these specific Beatitudes has a specific reward. The word blessed, you'll see this recorded very often, is the Greek word makarios. Many people have translated it to be happy, but I believe it is much deeper than happy. Happy is based on the word hap, which is circumstance and change. But you and I, friend, will find that this old world will change and happiness will change. But Jesus says that the word is blessed, and it is a state of blessedness. It is an inner quality of life that gives fulfillment, contentment, and joy, wherein God is our source. Many of our homes, many of our churches live in a state of happiness, but we ought to be living in blessedness. Prosperity cannot produce blessedness. Neither can affliction take blessedness away. Now, Jesus began his teaching with, blessed are the poor in spirit. That are those that are bankrupt of self and become dependent upon God. He said, blessed are they that mourn. That's for those that weep over sin with a godly sorrow in repentance. The third one is, blessed are the meek, for those that are humble and lowly. The fourth one, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. It is for those that are desiring and have an appetite for the things of God. The fifth one is, blessed are the merciful. That is for those who are compassionate about meeting the needs of others. Amen. And the Bible says in verse number 8, which is the next one, blessed are the pure in heart. That is for each of us, we ought to have right motives and right attitudes in our lives. Then he says, blessed are the peacemakers. That is for the Christian to promote and to pursue peace between God and man at all times. And then in verse 10, he said, blessed are they which persecute you for righteousness' sake. Now, if I get your attention just a second, I want to issue this statement. We'll go on. If you're a peacemaker, when you make peace for somebody, it may cause trouble. And when it causes a few issues, they'll begin to persecute. So really, these two Beatitudes are going to go hand in hand. Blessed are the peacemakers, and blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake.
Jesus is the recipient of persecution. He knew plenty about persecution. Remember, he was born of a virgin, and he grew up in the village of Nazareth. He faced a lot of persecution and questions about his birth. They said he was born of fornication. They said his birth was illegitimate. But he, my friend, stood the test. He was virgin born. Amen. After the baptism of Jesus and after his victory over the devil in the wilderness, Jesus went to the synagogue of Nazareth. I want you to turn to Luke chapter 4. And when he got in the synagogue of Nazareth, he opened the word of God and he began to teach them and preach to them the word of God. And the Bible says in verse 28 of Luke chapter 4, as Jesus taught in the synagogue in his hometown. Verse 28, and all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath, and rose up and thrust him out of the city, and led him unto the brow of the hill whereon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. Do you see what happened? They were ready to throw Jesus into a place that he might be killed. They were filled with wrath. They hated him for his preaching of the word of God. See, they were persecuting him in his own hometown, verse 30. But he, passing through the midst of them, went his way. What about that? Somehow he just slipped right through them, and they couldn't throw him down. They couldn't throw the stones at him. It wasn't his time to die yet, and he just slipped away. I begin to have this thought as I read these verses. Do you know how many of our churches the Lord Jesus passes right through and they have no idea that he's even been present? He was never acknowledged. He was never sought out. And he passed right through the midst of them and they didn't even know it. Bible says in verse 31, he came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught them there on the Sabbath days, and they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. He's in the village called Capernaum, which is on the Sea of Galilee. And at the Sea of Galilee, there are millions of people that lie around there. And he began to preach there. Surely, he was persecuted there as well. But many got saved and began to follow him. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. The old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. And they begin to follow Jesus. And Jesus goes up on top of the mountain, and he sits down, and all those followers gather around him, and he begins to teach them about what Christian character and Christian conduct is all about. Boy, our churches need some Christian character and some Christian conduct in their lives. Now, certainly, we realize that Jesus is the recipient of persecution. Number two, what are the reasons for persecution? Well, the scripture says, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. The word persecuted means to pursue in a hostile matter, a hostile manner. It is to harass somebody. It is to chase somebody. It is to trouble somebody. Jesus said, blessed are those who are pursued, those who are harassed, those who are troubled for righteousness' sake. Now listen to this verse. Paul wrote in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 12, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Every Christian must take up his cross and follow Christ. And in doing so, you will also become a recipient of persecution. Do you understand that you'll be persecuted for righteousness' sake? You may say, preacher, I beg to differ. The godliness of a committed Christian is a source of conviction to a lost and carnal world. The world cannot handle somebody who's poor in spirit because the world teaches you to live in pride. The world cannot tolerate someone mourning over sin because the world wants to bypass sin. The world cannot tolerate meekness because the world honors those, my friend, that are selfish. The world knows little about mercy, nothing about purity, nothing at all about peace. But all these characteristics, when they're in the heart of a believer, will cause a lost and carnal world to begin to persecute the people who live for the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus wants to encourage you that are persecuted for your faith to know that in the middle of your persecution, you are blessed of God, indeed blessed of God. Therefore, if you and I are being persecuted, we need to have a constant attitude of accepting this persecution and continuing to be faithful to the Lord. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 15:58, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Persecution may come in a type of physical persecution. In the early days, to choose Christ was to choose persecution. Before he was saved, Apostle Paul was named Saul. And you know how he lived his life? He lived his life as a persecutor of the things of God. If you'll turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter number 8, I want you to see in the very first verse in Acts chapter 8, verse number 1, "And Saul was consenting unto his death." Whose death? The death of Stephen. You see, Stephen, the man of God, stood up and preached the Lord Jesus Christ and lived for righteousness. But the world hated Stephen and threw him out and threw him on the ground and began to stone him. The Bible says that Saul, which we know is Paul, held the coats of them. In other words, their coats were laid at his feet. Saul was just fine with the man of God being stoned to death. And they stoned Stephen, and Stephen said this as he died, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." He was persecuted and martyred for his faith. And in chapter 8, verse 1, Saul was consenting unto his death, and at that time, there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they were scattered abroad throughout all the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Look with me in chapter number 9 and verse number 1. "And Saul yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem." Paul persecuted the church. But as he got these letters to go arrest people and hail them off to jail, on the Damascus Road, a great light shined on him, and he fell off of the beast he was on down into the Damascus dirt. Verse 4 says, "And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" Jesus showed up to confront Saul about his persecution. Saul may have thought, "I'm not persecuting. I'm just persecuting the church." But what's this? "And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest." Verse 6, "He trembling and astonished said, Lord, what would thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do." Why was Paul, or we know him as Saul before he got saved there, why was he persecuting the church? Because they had faith in Jesus Christ. How did he fall under conviction? First of all, as they stoned Stephen, he heard Stephen preaching about Jesus. He saw Stephen's attitude. How did Stephen handle persecution? He said, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." And Paul thought, "He's got something I don't have." He's rejoicing, though he's being stoned to death, and I have no peace whatsoever. Amen for that truth. Now listen to this. Proverbs 29, 27 says this, "He that is upright in the way is abomination to the wicked." I'll read that again. "He that is upright in the way is abomination to the wicked." You see, if you live your life for Jesus, other people are going to look at you and begin to condemn you and persecute you for living for the Lord, because you're bringing conviction on their life because you live for God. You realize the world hates the name of Jesus Christ? Our schools can't use it. Our governments don't want to use it. At Christmas time, they don't want to use it. They want to say happy holidays. You know, at the name of Jesus, men tremble under conviction at the name of Jesus. Amen. That's why they don't want to use the name of Jesus, because they're afraid of the name. They'll call Buddha, Muhammad. It's okay to do. But I'm telling you, call the name of Jesus and things change. The Bible says, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. You may be here today and say, preacher, I've never suffered physical persecution. I've never had physical abuse over my faith in the Lord Jesus. I have. I've been confronted. I've been shoved into walls. I've been confronted a number of times. I've had people put their finger right into my nose when service is over. I wish some of you deacons would have been around with me when it happened, so you could have seen it. I've been confronted a number of times, and certainly you have as well. You may not realize it. You may lose a promotion because of your faith and testimony in Jesus Christ. You may be ostracized by your family and ostracized by your friends for your faith in Jesus Christ. Some people pay a high price. Some people have to give their life for their faith. But you and I, our persecution, our suffering is very mild, is it not, physically speaking? Number three, I want us to go back to Matthew chapter 5, and I want you to consider the revilement of persecution. Many times, persecution begins in verbal persecution. And verbal persecution is followed by physical persecution. Jesus said, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. He said in verse 11, they shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Sometimes verbal persecution is done behind closed doors, when that person may not even know what you're saying about them. And as you're talking about them and persecuting them, it's because you've already held them in judgment. Have you ever walked up on a conversation of people who was in the middle of persecuting someone? Persecuting the preacher? Persecuting their church? Oftentimes, Jesus was persecuted behind closed doors, criticized privately. I think about this morning. You may say, well, it is my entitlement to offer my opinion. Romans chapter 2 says, therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doest the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them that which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? As you persecute others behind closed doors, God's going to bring some persecution into your life as well. It is a type of judgment when you're being persecuted. The Bible then speaks about when men shall revile you. To revile someone is not talking about them behind closed doors. It is doing it not privately, but publicly. The word means to attack, to insult with abusive words. To revile is to ridicule. It is to mock, and it is to slander. Our Lord and Savior was often reviled. I spoke to you about John 8:41, where he was slandered for his illegitimate birth, but he was born of a virgin. He was accused of being a Samaritan, which they considered to be a half-breed, in John chapter 8, verse 48. He was accused of being possessed by demons in John 8, 48. Finally, they accused him of blasphemy against God in Matthew 26, verse 65. And we know, according to Matthew, turn there, chapter number 27, that as Jesus was hanging on the cross, dying for my sins and for your sins, he was reviled, verse 39. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads and saying, Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Likewise also the chief priests, mocking him with the scribes and elders, said, He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe in him. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now, if he will have him, for he said, I am the Son of God. As he died on the cross for our sins, they reviled him publicly. They persecuted him openly. But yet our Savior, when he was reviled and persecuted, he answered not a word. He did not defend himself. 1 Peter 2:23 says, Who, when he was reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not. But he committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Jesus said in John 16:33, In this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. A reviler is a person whose goal is to expose the person he's already judged behind closed doors. The reviler's mission is to destroy the reputation of the person he is ostracizing and try to ruin his happiness. The reviler wants to embarrass and shame the one that he is persecuting. The reviler often waits until the object of his hatred is in public. And then the reviler will assail that person verbally. The reviler will often become aggressive and abusive. And he will be so inflamed and infuriated that the reviler will not recognize any restrictions or any limitations in his attempts to defame and to destroy. Proverbs 22:24 tells us we shouldn't make friendship with revilers. The Bible says, make no friendship with an angry man. And with a furious man, thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul. You be careful when you get around a reviler, how you react to him. Fourthly this morning, I want you to see the response to persecution. And we've already seen it in Jesus. He answered not a word. We've seen it in Stephen. Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. The Bible says in verse 10, Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. He says in verse 11, Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad. What is the response to persecution? To rejoice and be exceeding glad. Now, persecution is not unusual for a Christian, but the proper response is unusual for a Christian. When people persecute you, the first thing you want to do is defend yourself and attack them. But these Beatitudes have been teaching us proper Christian conduct and proper Christian character. And if we're fulfilling the Word of God in our lives when we're persecuted, we ought to be able to rejoice and be exceeding glad. Jesus wants us to respond to harassment, to heckling, and hurt with joy. What is rejoicing? It is glad. It is to be glad and to be joyously thriving. When was the last time you shook somebody's hand and said, How you doing? And said, Boy, I'm being persecuted, but glory to God, I'm so happy. In fact, most time they sit in my office and tell me their troubles about how somebody else treated them. I can't recall the last time somebody called me to my office to talk to me about how they were treated and say, God's been good to me. Boy, I've been persecuted. Hallelujah. I'm just being blessed to death, preacher. I'm blessed double anybody else. It never happens. Including from your pastor. It never happens. But it's supposed to happen. The Bible says, rejoice and be exceeding glad. Jesus did not say, defend your actions. Defend yourself. Hold your ground. He said, rejoice and be exceeding glad. Thought about the song this morning. We can rejoice because our name's in the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen. Hallelujah. That'll make us all shout. But can we rejoice because we're persecuted? 1 Peter 4:16 says, yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. Number five, and we'll be through. What is the reward for persecution? Jesus said in verse 12, great is your reward in heaven. Hey, you may be persecuted down here, but God knows the truth. If you're being persecuted for righteousness' sake, and if you're being persecuted for His name's sake, He knows the truth. Hallelujah! Great is your reward in heaven. He said in verse number 10, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Praise the Lord. So persecuted, they the prophets which were before you. Hey, let me say something to you today. You are not the only person that's ever been persecuted. The devil will tell you, oh, you're the only person ever been treated like that. Nobody's ever said anything like that to anybody else but you. That's a bunch of hogwash. The devil's a liar. Others have gone through persecution, and we can go through it as well. You may feel like you're suffering now, but he said the kingdom of heaven awaits for you. One day, you're going to rule and reign with Jesus while the revilers that are not saved are going to be serving the devil in a lake of fire. I think about all the apostles the Lord Jesus Christ called. I think about John, the beloved disciple, who the Roman emperor persecuted for John's faith in Christ. And he got a great burning cauldron of oil and put John in that cauldron and persecuted him and attempted to put him to death. But for some reason, John never burnt. That oil, amen. That oil, hallelujah. Hey, Brother Johnny, that oil, brother, that oil turned out to be more of a blessing to him than it was a hurt. That made the emperor mad. He said, we got to get rid of him. So they took him and said, we're going to exile him from society. We're going to get rid of that old-fashioned preacher. We're going to get rid of that old-time way. So they sent him off to the Isle of Patmos, and they left him there. The Bible said when we're persecuted, we ought to rejoice. So old John, when he was persecuted, left alone to die on the Isle of Patmos. He got in the spirit on the Lord's day. I wonder if he just said, well, thank you, God. It's just me and you out here, hallelujah. Let's just have fellowship. I'll just worship you today, amen. And about that time, the Holy Ghost come down. God the Father blessed John so much in the middle of his persecution. He said, John, I want you to start writing. I'm going to reveal my son to you and some things that's going to take place in later days. Hey, when did John get the revelation? When he was enduring persecution. And because of the persecution John went through, the book of Revelation has been a real source of rejoicing for all of us. Amen. So in the middle of persecution, can you say, ah, Lord God, bless your holy name? I'd say you probably can't. But you can through the help of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And getting the right Christian character and conduct.